Well, here we go. I just loaded the sermon from this morning, and I checked the email to see if it went out, and the email had a whole string of system administrators, just a whole string of them with that little paper clip there. So somebody somehow tried to zap that thing with a virus that was just sneezed all over the website or something, because all sorts of viruses were attacked on that thing. Hoping to get any of them. We're looking at Galatians chapter 6, we're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Take your pick. And you're going to get involved here tonight. There's no way we can finish all the stuff I would like to do, but then that's nothing new. I'm going to give you an assignment for Wednesday night, some of you folks, if you want to try this thing. No offense to the ladies, we're going to try to put it on the men. Probably don't have enough copies anyway. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 to take home. 8, 9. 10, he'll be here. Yeah, you were right. Okay, I'm going to give you some paperwork tonight. I'm going to explain this pile of good books up here and leave you with an assignment, and you can go. Oh, we're going to have ice cream and banana splits and stuff tonight if you want to stick around for that. That's why you came. Just clicked. Oh, well, did you get strawberry stuff too? Where'd you go? You didn't. I did. They only hear what they want to hear. Well, that's not surprising. Selective hearing. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, for those that went to the Galatian spot. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, who went to the Thessalonian section. 2 Corinthians 13, for those really ambidextrous, or whatever that word is, ambidextrous, there we go. And 2 Corinthians 13, 5, and you're going to see a word in here that I want you to understand what we're doing here tonight. It's going to sound very judgmental, it's going to sound very unloving in the whole thing, and I don't mean it to at all. I would imagine there'll be some backlash over the internet if anybody does take the time to listen to this stuff, because we're being very specific tonight. We talked this morning about the wrong road to the old paths, and that should be enough. But what I want to try to show us tonight is we're going to do a little proving tonight, and those verses have that word prove in there. Thessalonians says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Galatians says, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing. Corinthians says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Now, there's different sermons for all three of those things there, but the gist there is prove it. Prove it with the Scripture. What are you talking about? And knowing, of course, that you are all of such excellent rightly dividers, that you can see when somebody's taking a verse out of context or applying it differently or applying it wrongly or whatever, and you should be able to see some things. So I thought we would do here tonight is I thought we would just do a little proving or look at some specific things. Before we jump out, I'm even going to give you the papers. This is what should be on the screen up here, and I should be flashing these things, but that takes hours to present that stuff. I just didn't get around to it, so I'm going to give you the paper. And even that's challenging in some cases, but we'll do the best we can here for you. Calvinism. Now, we've been over Calvinism a little bit, and it's not contrary to what some people want to believe. It's a belief and study of Calvin and Hobbes. That's not the Calvinism that we're talking about. I tend to subscribe to Calvinism just a little bit because Calvin is so much like all your kids. You know. Yeah. But, you know, he's what he is and the little line, all that kind of stuff. But Calvinism, what is Calvinism? Why is this such a scary thing to get into? And there's different levels of Calvinism. People believe there's five, and it's under the word. Anybody know what the word is that we're supposed to remember Calvinism? The word is tulip. Tulip, the flower, tulip. T-U-L-I-P. And you remember the characteristics of Calvinism? T is total depravity. U is unconditional election. L is limited atonement. Irresistible grace is I. And the last one, P, is perseverance of saints. In other words, eternal security. That one's all right. We subscribe, as they say, to perseverance of the saints. Once saved, always saved. I mean, you can't get around it. Because your faith in Christ gives you the faith of Christ, so it's not his, it's not your faith to live on anymore, it's his. And it says he can't even deny himself. He would have to deny himself in Timothy to leave. Because he's the one that paid for this whole thing. So that's not an issue. The problem is total depravity. And let me just hear you a couple things here. Or hear you? No, that's not. Let me just read to you a couple things. Just real quickly here. Total depravity. Sin has affected all parts of man. The heart, emotions, will, mind, and body are all affected by sin. Not a problem with that. We are completely sinful. Not a problem with that. It makes sense, right? It says here, man's heart is evil and sick. Man is a slave of sin. He does not seek for God. He cannot understand spiritual things. You probably know where these verses are at. And yet, because we are so depraved, how can we choose to follow God? We haven't even got the ability to follow God, to make that choice. He cannot make the decision to follow God, so God must make it for you. That's the bunch. Calvinism maintains that because of our fallen nature, we are born again not by our own will, but by God, His will. God anoints people to believe. He chooses who gets saved. And they even don't believe that he knows what they were going to do in the future, so he just already, it's just mind-boggling stuff to think that. And see, the sad thing is they got scriptures here. Now, if we were to take the time, which we're not going to do tonight, I want to get right into this thing. That's just a bunch of baloney, and it's just all crazy. You know that. You have no problem with that. For whosoever shall call upon the name, I mean, whosoever is just whosoever. What if somebody's picked to go to hell and he wants to call upon the name of the Lord? Well, then he wasn't picked to go to hell. It's just weird stuff. And somebody never does get saved. Well, that was because God would never let them. Oh, yeah, God loves everybody. That's the bunch that says that, too, you know. But anyway, unconditional election, which is basically the same thing, except they're just making a separate category. Total depravity shows that we can't do anything. We can't even make the decision. Unconditional election means that it's all based on God's will. Some are elected unto salvation, others are not. Okay? The other one, limited atonement. Jesus died only for the elect. Limited. He shed his blood for certain people. Not everybody. Now, he shed his blood for everybody, but we can't get into the other side where then everybody's a brother of a son of God just because Jesus died on the cross. That's the brotherhood movement. That's another thing out there. So, this is limited atonement. I mean, it says right here, a state which the church was purchased by Christ, not all people, which is a prophecy of Jesus' crucifixion, Isaiah, where he would bore the sins of many, parentheses, not all. And you can see where the Mormons, everybody else, take that and kind of go along that line because the Mormons don't believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood for everything, so they have to shed it for them based on some of the sins. It's just crazy stuff. It's crazy stuff. Irresistible grace is they can't resist. If God calls you to get saved, you're going to get saved. If God calls you to get saved and you don't want to get saved, well, you're going to get saved anyway. That's irresistible grace. And there's a bunch, you can read as if you'd like, you know, read how they put these things. It's silly but sad. And the last one is perseverance of the saints. You cannot lose your salvation. That's true, but their reason is because God picked you. Not because of your choice and free will. So anyway, now why is that such a, well, it's bad, but so why is it? What's the big deal? Well, see, if you're not walking the way you ought to walk, the way the Bible says you ought to walk, then chances are you are not saved. And that's the big pressure. It's not because you walk because you love God and everything. The obedient walk, if you walk that obedient walk according to the Scriptures, then you're saved. If you don't walk that obedient walk, then you're not saved. And if you walk the obedient walk one day, then you're saved. If you don't walk it the other day, then you're not saved. Well, maybe you weren't saved in the first place, because why would you not walk it the next day? It's just crazy stuff. Is that what you want your kids to believe? And it all boils down to works, not that works save you, but it's your works that prove whether you're saved or not. Haven't you heard somebody say, I can't even be saved the way they're living? Well, in some cases, that's very true. I mean, that's something to consider. I mean, we read those three verses. Prove yourself, examine yourself. Are you really saved? What are some signs of salvation? How do you know that you're... I base my salvation on the fact that God has shown me stuff in this book. This is alive. Things I wouldn't have seen before. I believe my salvation is secure because of what I read. But after a while, it goes beyond that. And so I have no doubt. I know I shouldn't be saved. Not today. How about yesterday? Maybe. I didn't deserve it yesterday either. How about today? No, we don't deserve it at all. It's because of His love and our trust and the fact that He offers us the gospel of the truth. It says in Ephesians chapter 1. So, it's crazy stuff, and it's hard stuff. It's hard stuff to deny, refute, because they're such good walking people. I mean, they have to be. If they don't walk the way they ought to be walking, they're probably not saved. And God hasn't chosen. Man, if you knew that you were living a crummy walk and you just kind of believe that, I don't think God just wants me to be saved, so I guess I'm just chosen to go to hell. Man, what a party I'd have to have, because if when I die, whew, might as well party hardy, right? Because when you're dead, you're going to go to hell. That's what they would believe. And then you got these people that believe they are chosen to be saved, so they can go out there and live a crummy life, knowing that they're chosen to go to heaven anyway. And they're just kind of backsliding a little bit. It leads to all sorts of confusing things. Well, the point of saying that Calvinism thing is because that's probably the biggest tractor or vehicle, whatever it is, that these guys are taking people down. That wrong road to the old paths is taking them to the Calvinistic old paths. And it's hard on our children. And it's hard on them when they get to be adults. And not only that, it's wrong. And like I said this morning, the simplest way to solve this, we wouldn't have to do any of this stuff if we just said, well, Pastor, is that, or to your husband, honey, is that a King James crowd? And even that's not, you still got to watch carefully, but still, is that a King James crowd, King James printer, blah, 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 blah? Well, no, it's not. They're kind of into these new Bibles. Well, we don't mess with them. And they run out of money. They would never have existed. And that is how Paul says to solve the whole thing. From such what? Turn away. From such what? Withdraw thyself. And I'll tell you tonight, I don't know what you're going to do, if you're going to respond to this thing at all, some folks, but it's very clear. By the time we leave tonight, you will have some specific things I will have proven to you, to the Scriptures, that these people who have great materials and they want to do right, like I said this morning, they're nice people. They're just want to walk and talk. But they're wrong. And they're dangerously wrong. And what are we going to do about it? Well, that's up to Dad to decide. So let's look at, well, here, for example. I've had fun reading this book. This is The Life of the Swamp Fox. How many know the Swamp Fox? Let me put it this way. How many don't know who the Swamp Fox is or ever heard of this? Didn't y'all grow up at Disney or what? No. Disney made Swamp Fox North Carolina. He was probably one of our first guerrilla fighters. Don't you think, Sam? The forest kind of hiding kind of guy and did some great stuff during the Revolutionary War. And Francis Marion. Okay, didn't click then. Of course, if my name was Francis Marion, you know, I'd probably have to be the Swamp Fox too, because you couldn't go in public. But anyway. Excellent book. Sergeant York. Excellent book. Consolation, good books. Last Words of Saints and Sinners. Things that are different and not the same. Excellent book on King James Bible. But these guys are writers. Big time. The work, Heroes of the Faith. This is one about Charles Finney. Revivals and all sorts of things took place. Calvinist, big time. Here's one of the big ones. These are the journals of George Whitefield. Very interesting stuff to read. But if I preached that stuff, I'd be preaching Calvinism. I'd be putting the pressure on you, Walker, or you're not. This book was given to me. This is an absolutely fabulous book, Christ in the Camp. These are stories about Confederate soldiers and their testimonies about being a Christian during the Civil War. Very interesting stuff. Very encouraging stuff. Boy, some of these in here are just flat wrong. Some of these guys went to hell anyway. If that was their testimony, they went to hell based on their baptism or their teaching or whatever. It's God's call, not mine, but according to according to their testimony, I wouldn't want my kid to be like that guy right there in a spiritual manner. Well, can we deal with it because we know about it? Sure we can. Of course we can. Can we? Right? And you all got books, good books. I put these right here. In fact, Cindy said she likes to read. Last words of Saint and Sinners, with some famous people, the last things they said. Boy, I hope y'all don't say some of these things that these guys said when they died at their death table. But it's very interesting. And I know some of you folks have really gotten a kick out of that book right there. And they watched that thing in the movie. And a couple people want to borrow this thing. Not till I'm done. Okay? If you go back through this one right here, this is put out by a King James guy. I told you about him, Larry Harrison. Travels the country, sells books, great books. But you know, you have to know what's going on. Because in this back section right here, 13 Resolutions to Live By, Jonathan Edwards. Calvinist. But that's good stuff. Well, I never said it wasn't good stuff. If your kids grow up learning this kind of stuff, if you live by these resolutions, well, that'd be some good Christianity. If you're doing it for the right motive and the right reason and the right thing, you know. So, the conclusion, if anybody wants to get some books, get them from this guy. He's got a lot of the same books everybody else puts out. I'd rather put my money towards the King James guy than what you're about to hear. And that's probably all you need to do about this whole thing, other than learn what's going on. Good idea. Let's learn and see what's going on here. Who wants to hand this stuff out here? Let me rephrase this. Patience, come up here. Tyler, we'll get you the next one here. This front and back. We haven't got enough, so we'll kind of do them for a family, to the adults or something. Sorry, kids. Just have to trust your parents on this one. Listen closely. Turn to the one that says doctrine. Flip to one of the sides that says doctrine. Now, where are you at with all this? I don't know. I know where I'm at with it. And I guess I'll just show you some things and we'll go from there. I hope it's something else. If nothing else tonight, you'll learn how to be lovingly critical about stuff that your kids or your family or even your husband or your wife need to understand. When the Lord calls it the narrow path, you know what he means? Really narrow. And you get saved, and you get into that Bible, and you start reading some stuff, that path gets really narrow. It gets narrower. And sometimes that path gets narrower because you or somebody squeezes it narrow. Forces you through that little crevice. But that's not the way it goes. We have the choice to make it a narrow path or not. You know? Wide, there, narrow here. It's a choice. It's whether you love the Lord or not. And I know that sounds so modern, contemporary Christianity. If you love God, you know. If you love God, you would. You know, kids, if you love me, you wouldn't do. Ever said that? You know, if you love me, you would do that for me, type of a thing. Well, there's truth to that. There's truth to that. I can't find the verse. I remember we preached a long time ago that if your kids are liars, it's because they don't love you. That's what the Bible says that in Psalms. That a liar lies to somebody because they don't love them. Well, of course I love you, Mom and Dad. Well, then tell me the truth. Isn't that simple? But anyway, I just want you to see some things here. And I look to the doctrine side. We're going to kind of pick this thing apart a little bit tonight, quite a bit. And remember Paul's warnings about vain words and fair speeches and words of vanity and all that stuff? It's just, you don't know what they mean, but they sure are impressive. Read this thing here. We're just going to do all the reading tonight. So underline stuff if you see it, if you want. Vision Foreign Ministries is committed to affirming the historic faith of biblical Christianity. Right off the bat, you underline the word historic. You might find yourself pretty encouraged tonight. You might find yourself, you see the same thing. You'll see the same things. Historic Baptists, they're called. They're based truth on history. They're big history buffs. And history is neat. I love to teach history of American history. It's exciting stuff. But they call this historic faith of biblical Christianity. That's their authority. Including the precious doctrines of sufficiency of Scripture, you will see before the night's over they have no idea what Scripture is. The priesthood of the believer is not a problem with that thing. Now look at this. Historical grammatical approach to interpretation. What is that? Well, that's the scriptures being proven by history and understanding how to decipher your grammar, whether this Bible says what it says to say. You see the two words there, history and grammar. Historical grammatical approach to interpretation. This is not the final authority. What is? History. History. I'm big on history. But it's not my final authority. All you got to do is go to a Catholic library, and you already got your whole Baptist history thrown out the window. The whole thing about, go to those Greek guys that got different Bible, all kind of stuff, they'll show you history that this Bible is a Catholic Bible. So you can't put your total faith in history. You know? And if you do, you're subjecting yourself to the history of that particular crowd. Do we believe that this is true history of the past? I believe it's the true history. Because they proved it. That's why they call it manuscript evidence. It can be proven. And on and on and on and on and on. You know? I believe this thing's the Word of God because of Antioch. And that's in here. Alexandria, that's in here. Blah, 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 blah. The sovereignty of God, that's Calvinist. That means God controls everything. I mean, it's in His control. We know that He's watching over and He allows everything, so it's really in His control. But the sovereignty of God means that He makes it happen. Everything. I mean, you step from here to there, it's because God made you step from here to there. Any difficulties you have, God is making those things happen. That's the sovereignty of God. And yet the Bible talks about the sovereignty of God because He knows everything that's going on. But He lets it. He can stop it if He wants. It's not a big deal. And the Lordship of Jesus Christ, if the Lord isn't Lord of all, then He's not your Lord at all. You've heard that one. So when you mess up in your walk or whatever, then I guess you weren't saved because the Lord wasn't the Lord. I mean, He's either your Lord or you're not saved. If He's of the Lord, if He is your Lord, then you wouldn't do that. That's a big one. The Lordship of Jesus Christ. Turn that over. What's on the other side? What's it called? Guess what? Oh, right here. Okay. Now, do we even want to sit here and listen to you just crab and whine and pick apart something? Well, I hope so, because A, you learn how to crab and whine and pick apart stuff, and B, we need to know that there's something serious going on with our friends and family. Okay, let's look at this thing here. On behalf, we'll skip that paragraph there. Go down to the second paragraph in the middle where it says training, how to unite church and home. See that in the middle there? Unite church and home in greater harmony. Unless I don't do this right, I'll show you how they don't want to unite church and home. They are making a new church. I preached that a long time ago about the dangers of that thing. But anyway, let's look at the next paragraph, the next big one there. Right in the middle it says another reason. Now, I don't have any argument with that thing whatsoever. What they say down there, what's going on in age-segregated, peer-driven, youth group philosophy of discipleship. It's turning kids away from their family. I have no problem with that at all. Do we have a teen group? Well, you know, so I can have pizza, we do. And we get a chance to talk about some things, and I hesitate with that stuff because it's supposed to talk to mom and dad and the dad and all that kind of stuff and deal with stuff. And I've always liked working with kids. I tell you what, it wouldn't take much for me to manipulate those kids away from the parents. I could turn your kids away from you as parents and pretty quick. If they already aren't. I mean, a guy can do that. And all it does is encourage them to stay separate because they're righter than the parents or whatever. It's a dangerous thing. There's benefits to it, but there's a danger to that thing. So I don't have a problem with what they're doing there. But see, they also have a problem with King James only churches. So yeah, this is a threat. Look at the next paragraph. Now I'll get more specific here. Here at the NCFIC, we have bent our knees and in the Word to better understand God's purposes. Well, now see, here's the big thing. They don't know what the Word is. They really don't. And they mean well. but they have no clue what is the Word of God. To better understand God's purposes and principles, no, it's the words. From the sufficiency of Scripture, well, anytime you see the word Scripture, now from here on out, they don't know what the Scriptures are. But that's nothing new, right? I mean, that's kind of everybody that's out there. Right? Okay, so it's nothing new. But I just want you to see the dangers of this thing. Headship of Christ, to the family-like nature of the church, we are working hard to educate, exemplify, and to equip New Testament assemblies all across America. This is a major movement. And they are doing it incorrectly. Does everybody have to do it your way? No. But they have to do it this way. And they're not. Then it goes down. If you look at the bottom line, I'll show you the one paragraph, the one line that is scary there. May the Lord be pleased to use this humble endeavor to restore His church. Well, I appreciate that. But according to Thessalonians, is the church ever going to get restored? Not that that means we need to help it along, falling apart, but it's not in the Scriptures for His church to be restored until when? The rapture, or until, and until when He comes back. So, they mean well. But people are tired of their church, they're tired of their pastor, they're tired of the church people, they're tired of the preaching. They're tired of being preached about this. In some cases, they're tired of hearing nothing but salvation. In some cases, they're tired of being preached that they're so crummy, rotten, lousy. They're so tired of being preached. I mean, whatever it is, they go off and they do this thing that sounds so good because it's family-oriented. And these guys sound so well. And let's prove this thing to Scriptures. That's all we have to do. And if anybody here disagrees and you want to call me up for hamburger or something, I'll be glad. You sit down and you show me the Scriptures where this is not a dangerous movement, and I'll look at it and go, well, boy, I sure had that wrong. But I don't think you'll be able to do that. I know you won't be able to do that because it is a scriptural problem here. Restore the church. Anyway, there's that one. Here we go. It's going to get a little more complicated now. This one is called A Biblical Confession for Uniting Church and Home. Boy, you sure are being mean on the internet and all that stuff. No, you can do this with any teaching, any doctrine. They're welcome to go after us, amen. I mean, they went after me pretty hard. Whatever. It all's going to come out to where? Judgment seat. If God tells me, boy, you were just too King Jamesy. I'll just say, well, yeah, I'm sorry, I just thought what you told me was true. Well, you lost it in the translation. You know, you man, God isn't going to tell me that. I don't believe He's going to tell me that, so I'm not going to worry about it. My problem is, what did I do with what He gave me? That's my problem here. We're looking at A Biblical Confession for United Church and Home. Now, we're going to get far more into this one, so here you go. Here you go. Is this church perfect? No. Can people sit down and show some things we got problems with? Sure they can. Can they take us to the market for doctrine? Better not be able to. And if they can, we better deal with it. Now, I know some people are going to try to tell us. Get out the book and show me. And I will say this, we won't take all the time to do this, but I was surprised myself. A lot of these places, they give scriptures for it. So I look up the scripture, I look up what they said right there, and I have no clue how they came up with that, out of that scripture. So that's something you have to do. Just because you see parentheses, 1 Peter, 1 Thessalonians, oh, that must be in the Bible. You need to look it up. And take this thing home and look up some of these scriptures. You might find some of those that, honey, maybe I'm missing something here, but where did he get this out of there? That doesn't say that at all. That's what you'll find out. Remember my whole thing about Acts 24:16? The notes that somebody says, that isn't what that verse says at all. And is it just your interpretation? No, I don't get into this deep, what was that called? Historical grammatical approach to interpretation. I look at what it says right there in front of me. Okay, here we go. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe that the family is a holy institution. It's ordained and established by the sovereign triune God. So your family is holy. Do you believe that? You're designed by God. The family is designed by God. But is the family a holy institution? The Bible is a holy book. The church is a holy church based on this body of Christ. But right now, we're just a local assembly. If we were holy as a church, then we would, the gates of hell won't prevail against this place. Folks, we run out of money, the door is shut. That's bottom line. The devil will get his way. He can make you mad at me over this whole thing, and somebody can leave, and everybody can leave, and everybody leave, and the gates of hell won. But not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is holy. You're holy. On the inside. On the outside? Not yet. So that's dangerous. Call that family a holy institution. Designed by God, not a problem. There's that sovereign again who created the heavens and the earth. God's infallible revelation, the Bible, reveals that the family is an... Now, I'll just say it again. They don't know what the Bible is. They keep quoting that thing you wouldn't believe here, but they don't believe it's the Word of God. And I'll show you something absolutely amazing on that one later tonight. Is an integral part of the unfolding of His eternal purpose for the redemption of sinners. Well, sure. Your kids need to be taught the truth. They need to be taught the Bible. They need a family. That's what a family's for, is to feed them physically, feed them mentally, and feed them spiritually. That's not a hard thing. I don't have a problem with that thing, right? But is it just for redemption? Once they've been redeemed, and just drop them? Not at all. Edification. Big time. So we've got a problem there. But they don't deny that. They say it differently here. Okay, this great... look at the right in the middle there. It says, therefore. Therefore, the biblical order and unity of the family are crucial to the stability and health of the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, that's true. I mean, so goes your family, so goes this church. You know? We recognize that the family, and especially fathers, are the focus of a fierce, unrelenting attack by the world. That's partially true. How can you say that's partially true? I don't believe you men. I don't believe us men are under attack anymore. I think it's been done. I mean, of course the sights are still on us, but he doesn't have to have any ammo, much ammo in the bucket anymore. The strong man's been taken out of the family years ago. They make a point. They make a good point. We recognize that the family, the fathers, are the focus of, you know, I don't have a problem with that. This has escalated to the point that Christians must rise up in defense of the family. I crossed it out and wrote down dads. This whole thing tonight is for us dads, us grandpas, us men, to deal with something that's a huge, sneaky movement right now. Dads don't need to go back to the home, they need to go back to the book. I don't care what you get out of this thing tonight. If this doesn't get you back into your book, then it will have failed its intent. If you sit here and you believe all this stuff and understand all this stuff and you realize that, yes, it's a dangerous thing, and you still have the discretion and the ability to, you know, that's not the point. The point is, man, we have got to know when the devil is sneaking in with this stuff, or your kids are gone eventually. That's just where it's at. Okay, let's keep going. Got so much to do here. Look at the second paragraph, the third line, unfaithfulness. See it there? Now, unfaithfulness to God's Word in our pulpits has produced the decline of biblical Christianity and the dissolution of the family in our pews. The abdication of God's authority leads to unbiblical practices in the churches. Well, amen! But do they realize that they are just criticizing themselves right here? Because I'll show you, they take the Bible and they actually change it. That's not being faithful to the Word of God. Abdicate God's authority? Who's in final authority when you change this Bible around? You are. They have abdicated God's authority just as much as anybody else because they don't believe that Bible is the Word of God. This one. So you see this all through the thing. They say the right thing. Oh, they say the right thing there. That was a real good thing to say. You know that. keep going. This in turn leads to the perversion of the role of women. Amen. The destruction of our children. Amen. And the collapse of our society. Amen. Traditions which have originated in the minds of devils and fallen men. Counterfeit God's authority. Amen. False doctrines derived from Darwinism, Marxism, feminism, secular humanism, psychology, countless other unbiblical sources have emerged from a society that has discarded divine relation. That's the Word of God. And have contaminated or replaced God's standards? What's the word should be there? Words. They are just as guilty of what they're warning people against. So here comes this family that's having a difficult time, and they want to get this stuff, and they realize that there's problems out there, and you get involved in this crowd, and they still don't put you back to the book. They're actually, this is a mirror of their doctrine. We believe that the only resolution to this problem is repentance. That's an Old Testament thing, but if we're just going to call it change, that's fine. We must confess our failures, reject the traditions of men, wholeheartedly return to God's revelation. Boy, that's good, amen. What's God's revelation? The book. Yeah, we need to return back to God's revelation. But they don't. For the establishment and nurture of the family and loving obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's that word obedience. Nothing wrong with obeying. Just why do you have to obey? We'll get into some, I'll show you some more stuff later. So, do you see what I'm saying here? The very thing they say, they don't believe. They're not going back to God's divine revelation. They're not going back to the book. It's an amazing thing. Next page. Now we'll get into some specific articles. And you probably can't read the article titles up there. Right? That, and how yours look. Can you read them? Article 1, Article 2. Can you? Article 1, Scripture is sufficient. You know, it sounds really good, but something's missing there. Two words. King James. What's the Bible? And they say it's adequate. Adequate? That's an NIV term. That's an NIV. My Bible's not adequate. You know? Something that's adequate means it'll do the job. Kind of like ho-hum. No, it's not adequate. This is perfect. This is the Word of God. So there's that one. And you get a chance. Don't do it now because you missed some other stuff here. But I don't understand where those two verses fit that description at all. I got those X'd out. But don't take the time to look them up now because you missed this thing. Look at what they deny. We deny that God's people should treat His Word as inadequate for church and family life by supplementing His completed revelation with humanistic psychology. You've heard me say that. What's His completed revelation? That's the Bible. It's the Word of God. They don't believe that that's the Word of God. So how can they say that this is a completed revelation? I'll tell you now, your assignment for Wednesday is right over here. It's their biblical confession on hermeneutics. I thought they named it after my cat, but that's not what they mean. Hermeneutics is studying the Scriptures to show whether the Scriptures are not. And I'll tell you, I probably should just preach that time. That's all we need to hear. I got to read you this one. We deny that the inerrancy of the original text of Scripture, keyword, original, automatically extends to the process of transmission and translation. I've never heard it put that way, but they don't believe that that Bible right there is the Word of God. They just don't believe that. They deny it. They don't just not talk about it. They deny it. I'll just say this for your assignment, should you choose to accept it, Jim, is to take this thing home and read it and do whatever scribbles you want to do with it. Just what clicks your gizzard when you're reading this thing? What do you see that makes you, whoa, what is this? Because I'm telling you, folks, this is blowing across the country like a dirty 30 windstorm. Because people are tired of churches. And people who know better, older people that know better, parents that know better, know there's something wrong in the churches. They're going mega church. They're bringing in the rock music. They're bringing in all this junk and the entertainment, the gin. They know there's something wrong there. And then along comes this family thing, and they just jump onto that thing. They're just jumping onto that thing all over the country. They got great books and they got great lingo. And you're gonna prove for yourself. That's hermeneutics. Let's do that another day. They deny it. Amen. Well, we should go home. Amen. They deny the scriptures, the word of God. They deny this King James Bible, the word of God. From such what? Withdraw. From such what? Turn away. Get your book from Larry Harrison. I don't even know Larry Harrison. He might be a barker too. I don't know. You read books more than you read your Bible? Don't go down that road. Let's look at a couple other things here, just quickly here. We're back to page 2 of the confession page there, the old, original one there. We're going to go down to Article 2, second paragraph. Okay. We deny that we, being mere creatures, have a right to refashion the church and family according to our vain imaginations. That is exactly what they're doing. Vain imaginations. What does the Lord call it when they change the Bible? Vain imaginations. And they're redefining and rebuilding the church in a different manner. They're going to redefine and redesign your family. They're going to redesign you back to Calvinism. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, let's just keep going here. Here's some other things here. Let's go down to Article 4. Somebody else pointed this one out. See, I'm not the only one that's got critical, you know, whatever. Article 4, church's head is Christ. You have a problem with that? I don't have a problem with that. Where it says we deny, reject the self-importance and pride of man to usurp Christ's headship of this church. That's true. You have a problem with that? I haven't got a problem with that. By creating personal kingdoms. You know what these folks are called? Kingdom builders. Louis pointed that out to me. We're kingdom builders. Okay? Here's a big one. I didn't know about this one at all. This is amazing. Article 5, bottom one. Talking about the church leadership. We affirm God's revealed pattern in Scripture that the church be led and fed by a plurality of biblically qualified elders. That's called plurality of elders there. They reject. Next page. Top of the page. We deny and reject the two unbiblical extremes of our day. Authoritarian one-man leadership, one-man ministry. They don't want some whippersnapper standing here with an open Bible and telling you what needs to be told. That's all that is. Plurality of elders means there is not a pastor, but you all men, you just make all the decisions and you all preach and you just kind of make things happen. What's that called? That's called a committee. Has committees ever gotten anything done? But you know what that is? That's deacons. They're abusing a deacon thing. Well, I can show you something. Go to Colossians chapter 4 in your Bible. Remember I mentioned the other day that there's nothing in the Bible that tells a deacon what to do. It just tells you how you have to be. And I was reading some stuff in Colossians the other day, and it just clicked. There's an example of deacons. Colossians chapter, is that what I said, Colossians? Okay, Colossians chapter 4. That's right before Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, verse 11. And he's talking about, look at 9 and 10, Onesimus and Aristarchus and all those guys, and Marcus and Barnabas and all these guys. And he says, and Jesus, this isn't Jesus Christ, this is Jesus, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. I looked at that, and I, you know, that's what deacons do. They helped the pastor. They were a comfort to, they were a comfort to Paul. And these guys went out preaching and did their Bible study and did the whole thing. That's what a deacon does. That's a reference to deacons right there. Isn't that neat? And so what these good people did is they take some of this stuff and they make that whole deacon elder thing become the only authority. And it's weird because they'll be the first to say that how many authorities you have in your home. One. Okay, and it's designed after the church. So the church ought to have a bunch. No, that's not the case. The pastor is accountable. I mean, he's the one that's going to be accountable for feeding the flock poison or not, or how we set the table or whatever for the meal and all that stuff. But the deacons are supposed to be a comfort to them and blah, 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 blah. There's all sorts of stuff. I mean, but it's not plurality. I looked at that and I thought, boy, that's an amazing thing there. That's a serious one there. Okay. Let's go here to Article 6. Church is a family of families. And amen, we are. Amen. Do you see how there's so much good stuff here, and yet there's a little ounce of poison in all this? You know, Pastor, I think you could do this to anybody. Well, we could do it with us too. But we better not be able to do it doctrinally. You got problems in your family? Yeah. You got problems in the church? Yeah. Doctrinal? I don't believe we do. Pretty big-headed. No, I just, if I do, show me. And I'll be glad to check it out, you know. Should we have a bunch of guys up here and yak about how things are going to go, or should you have a pastor? Is that a biblical problem there? You know, look at Article 6, Church is a family of families. You can skip the first paragraph, go to the second paragraph. We deny and reject the current trend to value numbers and size more than intimacy and vitality by building impersonal mega churches. So do I. Are you game to be a mega church? It's not really a problem we have to consider. We're not even anywhere near the bridge. Rather than the multiplication of family-like congregations. Here are some people that don't believe the Word of God is the Word of God, and based on good history and Calvinistic good walking stuff, the fact that God chose them to go this way, and they're going to go across this country, and they're going to start family-like congregations all over this country. That's called a church. And they're starting churches that are wrong and deceiving people by goodness. How can we be so adamant? I don't know. it's an amazing thing to me. We're homeschoolers. I'm a homeschool banana head about the whole thing. I wish everybody did. I wish we could help or whatever. But I'm telling you, the devil has got everybody else snooker. He's got one more guy to get. And that's the dad that's King James Bible only, goes to church all the time, homeschools all the time, gets involved, but he can't get involved because we don't really always have to. We got to make it have a job, you know, and okay, so with all this good family stuff, because there's difficulties there, devil's going to get in there and he's going to lead these people into these churches that he's behind. And these are nice people. I know some of the people out back there in this other state. I know they're nice people. They mean so well. But I see the King James Bible kind of fading in their lives. Of what's important. Oh, they're still King James only. But it's not a what? Issue anymore. Talk about issues. Do you have the Word of God or don't you? Okay. Let's go down here to Article 8. We affirm that God intends both church and family to carry out evangelism and discipleship through multiple generations. Well, of course we do. So that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God. Begin in wisdom, I realize that, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, Deuteronomy and Luke, that is Old Testament. Yes, they need to fear God because God is who God is. But boy, you put your faith and trust in this God through Jesus Christ, then I'll tell you, he is a marvelously loving, gracious God. And as you learn how you shouldn't have done this, and you check out the scriptures and you find out that he didn't even impute it to you, you know? When your kids do something wrong in your house, do you hang on to that for years and years and years? Well, maybe we do. You know, back you know?
Amen.
Yeah. No, you deal with it, and it is done. And they are still your family member until they get to be 20. You know? Okay. Article 9, that's okay. Look at the second paragraph I'll marked up here. Now, here we go. Article 9, bottom one there, church and family method is relationship. You hear psychology terminology in here? We deny and reject the popular church system that has replaced heart-level relationships. Well, yes, we have a heart for each other, and that's true and all that, but that's just psych terminology, you know? Can you imagine Jerry getting up here and preaching about a heart-level relationship we all have with each other? Well, now you're just being picky, and you're just being picky and stupid. Well, I can't picture that coming from Jerry, but it's just, you know. Remember we saw all those things about what the Christians are supposed to, the brethren are supposed to do for each other. It's in the heart. It takes the Lord to do that for everybody, amen? I don't know, not for me, but for you all. And it says, has replaced heart-level relationship with activity-based programs. That's true. That is what's going on in churches. People are taking away this close family relationship that we're supposed to have here and bringing in activity-based programs. That's true. And has supplanted father involvement, oh, the shame of the thought, with clergy dominance. To think that a pastor would just be in charge of this church, oh, the shame of such a thought. You know, but that's what they're saying there. Clergy dominance. Father involved. Hey, folks, you want to do what you want to do? Go right ahead. Is that what you want? Would you rather have nobody stand up here and everybody just come and talk about what you want and what you think is best? Blah, blah, blah. You never get anything done. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about a pastor. You never would have gone to the fair. You wouldn't have done all that stuff. I'm not. You know, I'm not doing. I don't mean to be making this look wrong, but would you have done all that stuff? You know? No, there needs to be direction and all that kind of stuff, you know? The only reason we did it is because I enjoy spending money. I bought the booth. Oh, let's go to a fair. That sounds fun. Sounds like a good reason to have a bunch of elephant ears. You know? No, it's not you guys. We went to the fair for your sake. We didn't go to the fair for them at the fair. We went there for the men. And it worked. Last fair, you're there. You're doing your thing, and right there. Yeah, it was good. Next year it's going to be even better. Get you all down there. If you ladies cook for us, we wouldn't have to buy so much junk food. Amen. But Marcy goes, no, we brought you some stuff, and I think I saw you go get that elephant ear anyway. You know. Anyway. Let's just find some more stuff here. We're done that page. Okay, next page. There's just things here. And Article 11, God requires examination. Amen. We're doing just like they tell us to do. We affirm that God enjoins us to examine everything carefully. It says prove. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. So that we are. Amen. We are. We deny, same article, we deny that we who shepherd the flock of Christ, who's the shepherd here? The church shepherd. We all aren't shepherds. No pat on the back thing. That's the design. God has it. Look at Article 12. And this is where I really make a big thing. I really believe this to be true. I looked up these verses and it isn't what they say at all. We affirm that God has declared judgment begins with the household of God, and thus we Christians are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's true. Looking to judge ourselves, that's true. Lest we be chastened all the more. That's not true. God is not going to thunk you. We're going to get it when? Judgment seat. There's a verse that talks about we're going to make it to the judgment seat with some of our sins, the things that we're doing wrong. Never been called on the carpet at all. And somebody's going to call you on the carpet for it. It talks about that in Colossians. We're going to receive for doing for the good and for the right. That's when it's going to take place. So yeah, there's a fear there. Yeah, we ought to want to do right because it's going to get us eventually. You know? I mean, these little guys can do something wrong all day, but if they know that eventually when the time comes and Dad actually comes home, comes back, comes down, that they're in big trouble. You know? But they're going to get away with it all day long. But as they grow up and mature and learn to love Dad, they're just... I told you before that I didn't want to do stuff wrong when I was a kid, believe it or not, because I didn't want to hurt my parents. I didn't want them to find out because it was going to hurt them. It wasn't going to hurt me because they never spanked me anyway, so I wasn't going to, that's not the fear. I did stuff wrong, I know, and every now and then I shame my parents. That's, I mean, how many guys are dumb enough to drive around in a car with Lyle Paulson piano tuning on it, driving like an idiot? That shamed my parents. You know, not only the fact that they had the sign on the car that their son was dumb enough to do that. That had to have been embarrassing too, but anyway. Wheretofore in light of, the bottom thing there, we hereby do resolve to rely upon scriptures alone for everything pertaining to life and godliness, but they don't know what the scriptures are. Number three, resist Satan's deception designed to supplant God's goals and methods with the world's felt needs. There's that psychology term again. Opinion polls, but instead depend on God's word. They don't depend on God's word. Submit to the headship of Christ over his church, and he passes that right on down to a pastor. Reject the errors of both authoritarian one-man ministry and leaderless house churches and return to plural leadership. I'm just amazed at that because they don't even preach family plural leadership. That's just deacons. That's just deacons helping the pastor. There's not a problem with that except they're not the final authority there. Look at 6. Recognize the church to be a spiritual family of families who value intimacy and interaction and grow by the multiplication of family-like congregations. There is a threatening statement right there. It's going to happen. It's not, I mean, this is not this sermon on the internet is not going to stop this thing from happening. Not for a second. I would imagine a couple of guys are going to hear it and go, hey, I thought Paulson was from there, and the guy and the pat, and they're going to, hello, hey, Brother Paulson, what's the problem with old paths? We named it because of what you preached. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the old paths there, Brother Blank, but you're going down the wrong road. Well, is that going to stop everybody? It's not going to stop everybody. This is an epidemic thing floating. The churches are a mess. Are not churches a mess in America? We're struggling. And I believe that we're doing right. I believe that y'all can do better. We believe you can do better too. Amen. You know? But I do believe that this church is biblically designed properly. I do believe God has taken us through this book and shown us rightly dividing. I believe that he is now getting on us as a church family. He's telling us how to love each other, quit judging each other, how to get out there, be there for somebody's need. All that, he's bugging us, amen? He's been doing that to us here lately. What's coming up next? I don't know. I'm supposed to warn you about a wolf that's whining outside your door, if not already in some of our houses. Have to be careful. I'm thrilled to see this. I can help. I can deal with it now. You know. Number 12. Go to the last one here. See God while there is yet time. That's true. Seeing our true repentance. Yeah, he will withhold his hand of judgment upon our worldly families and churches. What a fearful thing. Aren't you glad that God hasn't snuckered on us because we hadn't done something right here? He just forgives and forgets. Doesn't even know about all the basic stuff, all the stuff really. It's a fellowship thing. Okay, moving along quickly here. Just kind of rambling tonight. You want to do this real quick? Take these things home and look at them. And I fear one thing. I'll talk about it before we leave here tonight. I fear something. I don't mean to do it that way, but what I just give you. What I just hand out to you? Oh, okay. Hmm. Anybody have one with a lot of red markings on it? Well, oh, you mean, Pastor, you have to do one by the wing? Okay, I'll do one by the wing. I need one there, ma'am. That's what I thought, too. Okay, what do we got here? Wonder why I copied this one. I haven't gone over this one yet. Man, sin. Oh, here's one. Go back on the second page there. Salvation by grace through faith unto good works. Well, I tell you, you got to dig close some of these things. They don't believe all the stuff they say in this page, not from what I've read. Salvation by grace. Salvation is totally by God's grace. An unmerited gift to the believer. We have no problem with grace, amen? An unmerited gift to the believer, they mean they don't even have anything to do with it. By God's grace, He called you to be saved. By God's grace, He didn't call Lewis. He doesn't get the grace. Because you don't see that in there. Remember I read the other stuff? You don't see that in there, do you? But there's a clue here. True faith is always accompanied by repentance and a determination to follow Jesus in a life of obedience and good works. So if you're not doing that, then you must not have true faith. And you dig into their stuff, that's exactly what they mean, but they don't come across that way there anyway. And there's the stuff about the church, you know, in the middle, the marks of a true church are the proclamation of the whole revelation of God in Scripture. Well, that's true, but they don't know what they mean there. The biblical administration of the sacraments. What? Sacraments? And I'll show you later. Oh, it's right here, sacraments. Look down to the next thing. Sacraments. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. They're not a means of salvation. They are signs and seals of the covenant of grace. Well, it still tells me that if I'm not baptized, that I didn't get my covenant of grace sealed, it must have something to do with my salvation. So He calls you to get saved. You better get what? Baptized to seal it. But no, baptism didn't save you. It just sealed you. Well, then if I didn't get sealed, are you going to eat a jar of beans after 6 months of being unsealed? That's not good. But I remember, that's why they had to go poof when you mean to do all that stuff. If they didn't go poof, you got to do them all over again. That seal is very important. We're sealed, Romans chapter what? 8, Ephesians chapter 1. We're sealed the moment we're saved. It's not based on your sealing. It's not based on your baptism. There's a reason they call it a sacrament. Who's big on sacraments? Yeah, they're really big on sacraments. Last things in the Bible. Let's read the Bible. That must be good. The Bible, the Scriptures, both the Old and New Testaments, are the inspired Word of God without error in the original writings. There it is. That is one. The Bible is the complete revelation of God's will for salvation of man and the supreme and final authority in all matters of faith and life. The Old and New Testaments must be understood in light of the other. That's a good statement. That's a very simple form of what? Rightly dividing. But let's take the New Testament and let's check that out too and all that kind of stuff. That was a quickie. I don't know why I handed that to you. You'll find some more things in there. Let's do one more. Now, I'm fearful tonight. And I won't say much about why I'm fearful. I hope this doesn't backfire on anybody. I don't mean to be making anybody look bad to their children. I like this stuff. I love this stuff. Might be the best place to get some of these books yet. That's not my intent. You're sure beating the bush with a heavy-duty stick. I mean, you killed that little gopher about half hour ago. Why do you keep pounding on it? Because it looks to me like this gopher, this little rat, is going to get back up again if we don't continually beat it down until it actually dies. So that's a fear I got. Here's something, while you're doing that, I didn't hand this out to you because it's just way too big. It's called the Puritan Catechism. Does that click with anything? This is, they just ask question after question, give you the answer. And it talks about scriptural stuff, you know, the Christianity. What rule has God given to direct us how we may glorify Him? I'll ask you that. What rule has God given to direct us on how to glorify Him? That's the Bible. Right? So they say that the Word of God is contained in the Scriptures. Is there a problem there? The Word of God, whatever that is contained in this Bible right here. Now, an NIV Bible takes that 2 Timothy 3:15, 16, and says all Scripture given by God is inspired. They change something there. Know how that goes? All Scripture. I wish Timothy could have just wrote one book. All right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Other Bibles, and this is how they're following this, all Scripture given by God is given by inspiration. So in other words, there are some Scriptures in here that aren't by God. This Bible does contain the Word of God, but it's not the Word of God. That means also, I can take another Bible. Where's your NIV, Bob? Come on. You can take another Bible, NIV. Oh, it contains the Word of God, too. Let's take another Bible. Swamp Fox's Bible. This Bible also contains the Word of God. Hello, I am your pastor. I have been to school. I can tell you which one of these, which of these things in here that's the Word of God. Because they all contain it. I know where they're at. Because I studied my Greek. And this is nothing new for most of you folks. But that's not true. Remember what I asked you this morning? How King James are you? We're so King James, pastor, that we don't mess with nothing that's not King James. That's why our house doesn't have anything anymore. See my bookshelf up there? No, I don't. That's right. We got rid of it. You know? No, I'm not for doing that at all. Please don't take it that way. How do I get in? Oh, we were doing this thing. Huh? Contain. Boy, remember that verse. Ladies, go home and make some potatoes. And mix it with, Jell-O. You know, our dog is gone, so I can't use it for an example anymore. And here's this big bucket of yuck. Hey, this bucket contains mashed potatoes. Yeah, but look what else is in there. Don't you know the difference between mashed potatoes and dog stuff? Well, yeah, okay, pick them apart. That's what's going on. And then somebody... Well, my analogies are weird. People come along and they try to convince you that the mashed potatoes are mashed potatoes. No. They try to convince you that the dog poop is chocolate potatoes. And it isn't. Okay. Again, my wife is embarrassed and ashamed of her husband. And some of the other ladies said, I would be too. Well, here's a good question. How does God execute his decrees? How does he tell you what he wants to tell you? God executes his decrees in the works of creation and providence. This is none of your paperwork here. And in providence. Is that Providence, Rhode Island, or is it just providence? Providence means it's going to happen whether you plan it or not. Have you not heard that? I was providence that my house burned down. No, maybe it's because you didn't turn off the burner. Don't blame God for some of the stuff that goes on in our families. Providence. all sorts of questions. We just won't do it. We just... Okay. How does Christ execute the office of a prophet? Warning flagged right away, but whatever. Christ executes the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word, amen, and spirit, amen, through the word, and by the will of God. No, he's not going to make anything happen to you that you don't want to have happen. Unless he's just executing some grace and being a blessing. If you've not had some things happen, then all you can say is, boy, God, you just took care of that. Well, amen. I would never go so far to say that that's what we can count on, though. Mike needs a job. My son-in-law, jobless. My son-in-law, homeless. You know? My son-in-law, mooching off grandpa. You know? Yeah. Amen, you know? Is that the plan? No, he's in a phase, you know? Is God making all this happen? If it is, it's because he's punishing me. You ever heard of the phrase effectual calling? Ever heard that, effectual calling? Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, not a problem, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, not a problem, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, renewing our wills. You can't renew your spirit. I haven't heard it called renewing your wills. Unless you're getting old, you want to renew your will, but that's a different kind of a thing here. He does persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus. Enable us. See? That's effectual calling. There's more stuff about that. Let's finish this up. I know you're just kind of like, okay, you have killed this thing to death. You know? This is a good one. What is required in the fourth commandment? I thought you were talking about... The church bunch. This isn't Seventh Adventism here. What is required in the fourth commandment? They say the fourth commandment requires the keeping holy of to God such set of times as he's appointed in his word, expressly one whole day in seven to be a holy Sabbath. The Sabbath is to be sanctified by holy resting all that day. Well, we're in trouble. Even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days. And spending the whole time in the public and private exercise of God's worship. Wait a minute, I thought you're supposed to rest all day. Oh, I'm sorry, except so as is taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. Oh, okay. It's all right. Well, what do we know Paul does with the fourth commandment? I think there were some eyes that kind of pointed the other night at the Vancouver thing, because some was talking about the Ten Commandments thing, and I preached about that, or what, I forget what that all was. And I just kind of bopped up there and said, boy, isn't that amazing that we only have to do nine? And the place is just quiet. Do we not know this? The seventh day is not a commandment anymore. Paul reiterates all nine of them. Paul says, what day is holy? Every day. I was surprised at the quietness in that thing. So I had to mention the fact, hey, we're from the Seventh Adventist country, okay? That's, I guess you must not... be aware of that sort of a thing. Whatever. Okay, here's one. Hang in. Go home if you want. What are the outward means whereby the Holy Spirit communicates with us? What? That's right. You're following the cult leader well, Jimmy. You know. Okay. The outward and ordinary means, whereby the Holy Spirit communicates to us, is the Word, but they don't believe that it exists, but he does communicate wherever it contains, and baptism, and the Lord's Supper, prayer and meditation. Okay, prayer, meditation, sure, because it's all through the Word anyway, but baptism? What does he tell you during baptism? doesn't take the Holy Spirit to tell me that I'm wet. And this white robe that you wear is showing off everything. It's a weird thing. Don't need to do that. It doesn't take the Holy Spirit to tell me that, oh, Jill's not here, that that river is really, really cold. You know, that must be one of those effectual calling situations. How are we doing? We're all right. You got to put up with it. That's what I get paid the big bucks for. The tenets of biblical patriarchy, is that what I gave to you? Okay. It's kind of a sad thing, but the first paragraph is nothing but 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19. I wish they would have put that in there. I mean, we have heresies in the church to help us get strong with what is true. So, with that in mind, what should this evening do for us? It should make us stronger with what's right. It should make this church stronger, not weaker. It should make your family stronger. So dads and mothers, don't let this chip away at your family. This should make your family stronger. You know? Let's go down to the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph. We skip paragraphs, 1 for time, 2 is that it's not big enough to deal with, 3, a lot of the stuff they say is right. Before I'm pointing out the poison, look at 4th paragraph. By way of background, we want to emphasize that we affirm the historic creeds, historic, history. They don't turn to the Bible, they turn to the creeds. They don't turn to the Bible, they turn to the Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, London and Westminster Confession. Remember I mentioned those this morning? You can take Southern Baptist Convention, they won't go to the Bible for their final authority, they'll go to their Philadelphian Convention, that, whatever that thing is called. They go to that stuff. That's what they go to. Aren't you glad you go to the Bible instead of the Touche Convention you had 20 years ago or whatever? The Christian faith centers on Jesus Christ and grounded on the written. Well, I've never seen that from people that don't believe that the Word of God is available in one book, to put the word written there. That's an amazing thing to me. They just don't use that word. Because I would have to ask them, ho, it's written? Well, I didn't know that. Can you send me that written Word of God you're talking about right there? I can't believe that they would say that. That's amazing. They don't believe that the Word of God is written anywhere. It's the originals, right? You got the originals? They don't have the originals. It's amazing. Bottom paragraph, R.C. Sproul Jr. is a Presbyterian. So this is just another clue of what's the big word. Ecu-what? This is just another ecumenical trick is all. This is just as dangerous as alpha. And nobody, you know, what's alpha? Okay, next page, we'll skip all that stuff, I guess. No, let's go down to number 6. Maybe this will help us guys. I wish I could live my man life over again. Like I had any other kind of life. It's not what I meant. You know? I've only been a man and that's it. I have not been something else in a previous life or anything like that. Six. A man's authority in the home should be exercised with gentleness, grace, and love as a servant leader, following the example of Jesus Christ. You know? There's a lot of stuff in Timothy and Thessalonians about that, but you know, Paul also says the man is supposed to be a soldier. The man is supposed to be bold. He's supposed to be the strong man, not the, what is it that begins with W? Wuss. The what? Wimpy. Weeby. Whatever, you know. Remember that presentation up here where it had on one side man's characteristics in Proverbs, and the right side was the mother's characteristics? And if you were willing to admit it, which I am to myself, not to you, I have seen a lot of mother's characteristics in me, and we've done been switched. I don't mean spank. I mean we have switched roles. This is a half truth here. Yeah, the guy doesn't have to be like Jerry all the time. You know. Yeah, there's leadership. Of course there is. You don't have to be a gruff all the time, but that isn't what you're just supposed to be. Is it, you know, oh, please, you know. Well, Nancy, that's what you told me the other day over the phone. Okay. How many fathers do they want the family to have? One. So why do we have to have more than one family? You know, whatever. Okay, on the bottom of the page, and it goes to the top of the page, I want you to see where they get their central and defining definition here. As a key, bottom of the page, family, church, and state are parallel institutions, each with real but limited authority in its ordained sphere. As the keeper of the keys of Christ's kingdom, the church is the central and defining institution of what? History. So let's go back and let's study history, and that's how we'll define what's right and what's wrong. That's the church. What are they lifting up here? They're lifting up the church. What's the pillar? It's the pillar of what? The truth, yeah. The truth really does need the pillar. God does need the church, and that's the local assembly. But we don't go out there and check out the pillar. It's the truth we're after. I ought to be checking out pillars, I guess, to make sure they're holding up the truth. We're just about done. Look at number 9. There it is again. Every Christian father and family ought to be submitted and committed part of the local church. I have no, that's so true. Subject to the authority and discipline of the church through its elders. That's Mormonism. That's what that is. Number 10, the church is defined by its orthodox confession and faithful teaching of God's word, which they don't have it, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, by the rule of qualified elders. What's a rule? What's a qualified elder? I guess you go back to Timothy there, keeps everybody else out, by the biblical administration of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Next page. Oh, yeah. The next page, bottom of this stuff, talks about abortion and stuff. And at the very top of the page, here's another example of an impressive vain word kind of a thing. Yeah, you put your, keep your glasses for this one. Unborn babies, whatever it's talking about there, through the use of abortificient birth control. I think I know what it means, but I've never seen that word before. It sounds like something I came up with. Some of my famous words, you know. Now it goes down and talks about education. I bet I have no problem with that at all. 16, education is not a neutral enterprise. Christian parents must provide their children with a thoroughly Christian education. No problem. One that teaches the Bible and a biblical view of God. Yes, rightly divided biblical view of God. And that's what your job is, parents. Make sure, if anything, your kids read and understand rightly division. It talks about education. Yeah. I got no problem with that. Next page. Number 24. Scripture is the believer's sufficient guide for all of faith and practice. I've heard Gipps say that. But he doesn't say Scripture. He's very specific. The Bible provides the Christian, but they don't know what the Bible is. Look at 25. Fathers need to exercise discernment in the choices they make for their families. Well, amen. And not simply drift with the cultural tide. Amen. You know what this family integrated movement is? It's a drift of the cultural tide. So fathers, deal with it. You know? I read that stuff. I just know when I see Calvinism when I see it now. Just be able, you know, you make the decision. And then that next word. I thought feminism was feminism, but what is egalitarian feminism? Anybody know? You know what that is? Ever heard of that? Oh, I thought Tyler knew. Oh, wow. You know? Egalitarianism? What? Are you just making that up? It sounds really good. Yeah, I mean, that's true. An eagle, you know. Yeah. That's as good as, you know. I suppose feminists just spend all the time flapping their wings, I guess. I don't know. We can go with that thing. I guess it's the beak that does all the damage. And those claws come out, you know. You brought this up. It's your fault, you know. Look at number 26. While God's truth is unchanging, we can challenge them on that, amen? All these different Bibles, something's changed. Listen to this real carefully. The specific application of that truth may vary depending on facts and circumstances unique to each believer. Now I realize there's all growth, amen? I mean, different, but the truth is the truth, whether it fits your lifestyle or not. That's quite a statement there. And they're talking about charity. I understand that. What's that verse? We should not live by, we should not establish our hearts by meat, but by... Come on, Brenda, you might as well tell us. Charity. Right? Yeah, maybe I forget that kind of stuff. So they got the point on charity, but the application of a truth may vary depending upon facts and circumstances. That's a wishy-washy way to put it. Bottom thing here, the biblical rule in judging behavior is charity towards others, strictness towards oneself. Well, I like that. But then it right away reminded me of that verse in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, where you can beat yourself to death. Condemning yourself. That thing is 1 John chapter 3, 20 and 21. You know that God has taken care of things so much that even when we mess up, and we consistently mess up, He still doesn't want us to condemn and bash ourselves to death. So, I understand their point. Charity towards others and strictness towards oneself. That's good, amen? But if you're so strict on yourself, how many here are walking a perfect life so far? Are y'all got it together? You know? Well, if that's the case, how long have you been saved? Oh, about 10 minutes. I got an excuse. I've been saved for a long time. You've been saved for a long time. How come your hands aren't up in the air yet? What's the matter with you folks? Well, then you ought to just bash yourself over the head a couple times and get it together, you worthless Christians. Amen. No, God doesn't want to do that to you. He's already done that. Why should we bash ourselves again? The bashing has already been done. Just get up, get into the book, and try it again. You know? We failed our two children. I apologize to Mike every couple days for some of the things that Beck does. She'll listen to this and she'll, "Oh, Dad, you'd be so hard, you know. Couldn't you do things better, Dads, next time around?" That's why you got four kids. And one of these days, there's no point in bashing ourselves over this stuff. So yeah, be strict, but don't tear yourself apart. That's the bondage we get back into. This whole thing started in Peter. Remember that? They promised liberty. They promised a marvelous family. And they promised Dad's coming back home, you know, working 2 or 3 hours a day, making $100,000 a year, and being there with everything just all together. And the wife just goes, "Oh, I'm so, you know," and all this fairy tale stuff. And they promise that sort of thing here. And they don't even lead you back into the truth. And they've got some doctrine that's just downright false. And it ends up trying to walk strictly, strictness upon yourself. And you know, and I know, that we all can't walk that walk. We just try to learn it because we love them. You blow it, get up and try it again. Blow it, get up, try it again. Renew your spirit daily, it says in there. Get in that book and get going. And there's no need to beat yourselves over the head. That is called bondage, which is what it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, that you end up in after this kind of a thing. And it says, you are worse off than when you started. You know, you get saved. It says they're saved away, saved out of the pollutions of, escape the pollutions of the world. And to get caught up in this stuff right here without even knowing it, and before you know it, you're miserable. And all you're trying to do is right. What's wrong with trying to do right? Nothing. Unless you're trying to do it wrongly, and you're following somebody that's lying to you. And that's what they're doing. And all I hope tonight is folks out there, if anybody listens to this thing, this long thing, that they are just careful. Just be careful. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought you're King James only. I am. Oh, am I King James only? I'm King James only. And you just told us to be careful. That was kind of a bad thing to tell you. Because what does he tell you to do? Turn away. Withdraw thyself. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but there's another source right here. That's what I would have to do. You know? I hope I can help somebody else show some things that are wrong with something. Well, Eeyore, you've always been able to do that. Yeah, I guess that's my calling. Because with this Bible, you can prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. And how did we start this morning? How King James are you? Second question, we'll find out if Dad really does make the decisions. And the third question is, do you love God more than you love your family? Then you'll do what God says, not what makes your family the happiest. But you ought to be able to explain it when you make a decision. I just hope tonight that I help some of the men make a decision. That's all. Hope I gave a little sense to this thing. Do you see what's going on? What a movement is falling over our country. What a fog. And our folks are falling for it now. I'd fallen for it. I still recommend every one of those books. But you have to know what you're getting into. You don't have to know what you're getting into with this thing. Remember this morning? What should we do, preacher? Come on. Come on. Be real straightforward with this, okay? Tithe your reading. 2.5 hours, 2.4 hours a day. Hour in the morning, hour at night, a couple minutes during lunch. I don't know, you know, make it happen. Turn something off, get into this thing, and don't do it for the speed of it. Scorby won't get you through in a hurry. Scorby will slow you down faster than you read. So all this stuff, I just recommend that y'all get into your Bibles more than you ever have. And now that we know that you could tithe your reading, it's exactly 2.4 hours a day. That's 10% of your day. Read your Bible through every month. Not only would you be putting something good in, you'd quit putting something garbage in. And there you go. What would God do? I have no clue. I have no clue what God would do for you. I know what God's done for me when I started my Scorby stuff. And I know what happens to me when I get too busy in the morning, in the day, in the night to not get it done. Some of you folks said that you don't like to miss church, because it just goes against the grain to miss church. Does it go against our grain to miss the Bible reading too? Well, I'll tell you, from such turn away. Prove that which is good, and hold fast to it. That's the Word of God. And if this church is good based on the Scriptures, hold fast to this place. And pray, men, that you make your family just as steadfast as this church, just as good as this book and this church. And praise God, you don't need more than one father or husband in your family. you know. And praise God, you only got one pastor. Well, but we got some men that want to get involved, and they're preaching, and they're teaching, and they're studying, and they're talking, and they're fixing things that I break, and we're just a family here. And you ladies feed us, and we have a good time, amen? We have a church family. Some of you folks got needs. Some of you folks have fulfilled them. God's really working on us. He showed us a major thing tonight. Who are we? We're just people that believe the Bible to be the Word of God. Exactly as it says right there. Do you see God's blessing on this little church yet? If you haven't seen it yet, He'll show you. But I think you've all seen it. So, your assignment, Jim, should you accept this, and this pulpit will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Here. This is the meat of where they stand on the Bible. This is called a biblical confession on hermeneutics. This is where they break down their belief about the Word of God in detail form. And I'm just going to ask you, what did you find when I see you Wednesday night? What did you find in there? Did you find anything? Yeah, Pastor, I found something. I can't believe it. They just flat deny that any translation could be preserved by God. So they deny preservation. Oh, really? Yes, right here, bottom of the page. And you'll see that in there. Somebody else will find something else. And, oh, you don't want those. Oh, somebody got one of those sermons. Okay, well, here. There's that one. And I'm going to have another one up here that I didn't scribble a whole lot on. Do I just scribble a whole lot? Lewis, you want the one that's got all the answers? No, I've only scribbled a couple. No big deal. Okay. Remember the sermon, There's No Joy in Mudville? That was leading up to this. Remember the one about real joy? Okay, if we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't get this, we can't go there, where do we get a real joy? Right here. $2.95, I'll sell it to you. $2.95. It's copyrighted now. Yeah. Okay, let's stand dismissed. I'd love to have discussion. Now we'll all take out our notes and we'll have a little discussion for an hour, but it's called ice cream, banana split, and all that kind of stuff. We're off. Oh, this one. This is the one we came off here. Oh, and this. Look at this. This.